Roosevelt was driven in an open car to Bayfront Park in downtown Miami, where thousands of people were waiting to see him. His bodyguard, Gus Genrich, 1887 to 1936, adeptly boosted him into a sitting position atop the back of the open car, and he spoke briefly, seven sentences, telling the crowd that he was no stranger, having been in Miami several times and had a wonderful time. Moments later, five shots rang out, as Giuseppe Zangara, 32, a naturalized Italian-American, attempted to kill Roosevelt. He was standing on a bench, two or three dozen feet away, and opened fire with a cheap 32 caliber revolver bought in a Miami pawn shop 2 days before. Impeded by a brave woman who grabbed his arm and hung on, he missed Roosevelt, who by this time had slid back down to the car seat, but did hit five others, two of them Chicago Mayor Anton Cermak, who had briefly shaken Roosevelt's hand just after the talk, was walking away from the car, and Mrs. Joe H. Gill, wife of the president of a local utility, were in critical condition. Cermak would eventually die. Roosevelt himself was the epitome of cool. A telegram of thanks he sent to the woman who may have saved his life included the following passage. "It now appears that by divine providence the lives of all the victims of the assassin's disturbed aim will be spared." If he believed that, and there was every reason to think that he did, he must also have believed that God had spared him. He gave his own account to reporters the next morning. "After I had finished speaking, I slid off the back of the car into my seat. Just then Mayor Cermak came forward. I shook hands and talked to him for nearly a minute. Then he moved off around the back of the car. Bob Clark, one of the Secret Service men, was standing right beside him to the right. As he moved off, a man came forward. While he was talking to me, I was leaning forward toward the left side of the car. Just then I heard what I thought was a firecracker. Then several more. The man talking to me was pulled back and the chauffeur started the car. I looked around and saw Mayor Cermak doubled up and Mrs. Gill collapsing. Mrs. Gill was at the foot of the bandstand steps. I called to the chauffeur to stop. He did, about 15 feet from where we started. The Secret Service men shouted at him to get out of the crowd and he started forward again. I stopped him a second time, this time at the corner of the bandstand, about 30 feet on. I saw Mayor Cermak being carried. I motioned to have him put in the back seat of the car, which would be the first out. Roosevelt held Cermak all the way to the hospital, telling him at one point, "Tony, keep quiet. Don't move. It won't hurt if you keep quiet."